A young woman walked out of this department store, got into a rental car, and was never seen again. The signature on the rental car agreement was a forgery. Forensic scientists hoped that either the handwriting or the ink from the pen would solve the mystery. Nestled in the hills 60 miles northwest of Los Angeles lies Ventura, California. May 6, 1996 started like most other days for 30-year-old Sherry Daly as she dropped her two children off at school. But on this morning, she went shopping before work. Sherry was expected home by noon, but she never returned.
911 dispatch.
My wife brought my boys off to school at 8:30 this morning, and she's been missing since.
What is her first name?
Sherry Daly.
Sherry's van was found in the parking lot of a local store. It was unlocked, with her purse and items from the store still inside.
At this point, we're still trying to figure out where'd she go, thinking that she might be with a relative, or there might be. She might have gone off with some friends for some reason. We didn't know.
Detectives asked the store employees if they had seen anything suspicious. A security guard recalled seeing Sherry in the store earlier that morning.
She stopped and spoke briefly with a friend of hers who was head of security of the department store at that time. And then she went about her business and did some shopping, checked out. She walked out of the department store and walked over towards her van.
The surveillance camera shows that Sherry left the store at 9:22 a.m.
I mean, Sherry's the backbone of our family, and now she's missing.
Today we're going to try and do the base of Ventura, river bottom.
Friends and family passed out flyers throughout the community. Television and radio reports asked citizens for information.
One volunteer says today reminds him of the day they found another Ventura County missing woman.
Many knew Sherry Daly and her husband Michael since they both grew up in the area.
He was the first real boyfriend she ever had. She was just so much in love with him that she could see nothing else. I mean, the sun rose and set in Mike.
Sherry and Mike had been married for 12 years and had two small children. Mike worked as a manager at a grocery store. A background check revealed the couple had a history of marital problems.
We know that he represented to her that he wanted to make a go of the marriage, but his actions did not coincide with his expressed reason for going back to the home.
Why? Friends said Michael had a lover, a woman he worked with who was a former model, Diana Hahn.
He did not keep it a secret. His co-workers knew about it, family members knew about it, and of course Sherry Daly actually learned about it as well.
The day after Sherry's disappearance, investigators decided to question Diana Hahn at her home.
She answered the door in a skimpy outfit, obviously been in bed. And behind her was Michael Daly, just wearing a pair of shorts.
Naturally, police were suspicious.
I wouldn't expect a concerned husband to be at his girlfriend's house while his wife is gone, has disappeared.
Soon, a witness came forward claiming to have seen Sherry Daly in the parking lot and said she appeared to be in some distress. Just a few days after 30-year-old Sherry Daly disappeared, an eyewitness told police she saw Sherry in the store parking lot and it looked as if she was being arrested.
She was seen by eyewitnesses standing at her van door, opening it, and a woman approached her. Sherry turned around, spoke with her briefly, just exchanged some words, very briefly. Whereupon Sherry turned around, the woman placed handcuffs on Sherry, walked her over to the car, put her into the back of the car as a police officer would.
The person was described as female, wearing a tan pantsuit, blonde hair, and sunglasses.
This didn't resemble Diana Hahn, who was Michael Daly's lover. Hahn was a brunette, and she didn't own a car like the getaway vehicle.
The description was a teal-colored car. That, to me, wasn't a common car color to be seen on the road. So my attitude was, it's got to be a rental.
Detective Burt and his partner visited all of the local car rental agencies in the area.
Skip was asking the lady behind the counter, did Michael Daly rent a car from you folks? And so she gets on the computer and nothing comes up for Michael Daly. And he asks, well, what about a Diana Hahn? And lady goes to the computer and lo and behold, she says, yeah, Diana Hahn rented a car on the 5th, May 5th.
May 5th was the day before Sherry disappeared.
We looked at each other and it was like, ooh.
Diana Hahn denied renting the car, claiming the signature on the rental agreement wasn't hers. Furthermore, no one at the car agency could positively identify Hahn as the person who rented the car. The rental car had recently been returned.
We looked in. You could just look inside the back windows, and you could see on the rear floorboard a brownish color in the carpeting.
Forensic scientists performed tests on those brownish stains in the back seat. A phenolphthalein test was positive. It's a chemical reagent that turns red when it comes into contact with the hemoglobin content of blood.
It appeared as though this was an area in which blood had pooled or puddled. An individual sitting in the passenger back seat had been leaning forward and bleeding, producing blood running and dripping into this area on the floor.
Investigators then used luminol to look for blood that may have been clean from the car and trunk.
What we were told by the crime lab is that when they luminol the inside of that car, it lit up like a candle. I mean, there was blood everywhere, on the door panels, up in the headliner, everywhere.
With blood samples from Sherry's parents, forensic scientists concluded that the blood inside the rental car was that of Sherry Daly.
I knew something seriously was wrong because I knew she would never leave her children. I mean, she would never, ever have left her children on her own free will.
And scientists found something else. In the back seat of the car were five long pieces of what looked like human hair.
When I examined them microscopically, I found that they weren't hairs at all.
There were unusual arrowhead-shaped designs on the shafts. An infrared spectrometer identified the molecular structure of the strand not as a hair, but a fiber, the type used to make wigs. Was it possible that the woman who abducted Sherry Daly was either in disguise or wasn't a woman at all? Twenty-five days after Sherry Daly's disappearance from a store parking lot, search volunteers found some bones off of a remote road just 3 miles from where Sherry was abducted.
They called about 5:30 that Saturday evening. I want to tell you before it hits the 6 o'clock news, because it's going to hit the news that we have found the remains of a woman. And he said Kristen was Sherry's friend. Kristen has positively identified the clothes as being Sherry's.
Sherry Daly's dental records were already on hand for identification purposes.
The correlation between the dental x-rays, I felt at the time, sufficient enough to tell the investigators that even without me taking x-rays of the human remains, that the remains were of Sherry Daly.
and forensic scientists were also able to determine the cause of death.
Forensics experts at the crime lab were able to map out the different stab wounds, the different tears in Sherry's shirt, indicating that there were multiple stab wounds, more, in fact, than were located in the bones.
Sherry suffered a devastating attack.
There was, in the right jaw area, a piece of metal that was embedded in the bone that was removed by one of the forensics experts at our crime lab, Jim Roberts.
Roberts analyzed the metal fragment using an electron microscope, which produced a three-dimensional image and a picture he could identify.
After some study on the microscopes, we became convinced that it was part of a serrated knife blade, actually the tip of one of the teeth of the serrations.
Sherry's husband, Michael, was one of the two suspects in the murder. He said he was at work at the time of her abduction.
Everything pointed to Diana, and we knew Michael was at work, so he has the alibi of not being the hatchet man.
Michael's mistress, Diana Hahn, was the other suspect. The car used in Sherry Daly's abduction was rented by someone who signed Diana Hahn's name. Hahn denied it was her signature and insisted someone else had rented the car and forged her name. Jack Harris is a forensic document examiner who specializes in handwriting analysis.
So if anyone is going to forge her name, they're going to try to make it look like the signature on a driver's license, and yet this had a very visible difference.
The capital letters on the rental car agreement were noticeably different than Diana Hahn's known signature sample, and the writing also had a different slant.
It's a common way of first step in disguising a signature oftentimes. Well, the question signature on the budget rental agreement had the little letters, and then it went straight out to the right.
Harris then compared the signature on the car rental agreement to signatures Diana Hahn signed 10 years earlier. And in those signatures, Harris found a surprise. Diana Hahn's signatures of a decade earlier were strikingly similar to the signature on the rental car agreement.
Sure enough, every so often she went straight out to the right and didn't curl back again. I concluded that, in my best judgment, she signed the rental agreement and initialed the agreement.
Harris believes that in signing the rental car agreement, Hahn thought she was creating a forgery, but she was unknowingly using her writing style that she had used years earlier. And investigators found more forensic evidence.
A lady that worked at a wig store in Oxnard recognized Diana Hahn as a person who had purchased a wig from her just shortly before Sherry Daly's abduction.
Hahn had paid for the items with a check. Detectives searched Hahn's records and found other checks written shortly before Sherry's disappearance.
The checks were interestingly written in green ink. Not too many people carry a green ink pen in their purse. When Diana Hahn was arrested, she was found in her purse a green ink pen.
Detectives sent the checks and the green pen to a forensic document examiner who specialized in ink analysis.
First tests that I perform are non-destructive in nature, and they're intended to evaluate the ink formulations, not the pen, but the ink formulations.
The most common technique in ink comparison is to use a video spectral comparator.
What this instrument does is evaluate inks in the ultraviolet, visible, and infrared portion of the spectra. The theory is if it's the same ink formulation, it should react the same under all conditions examined.
Infrared lighting can identify if two ink samples are the same or different. The spectral comparator showed that the ink on the checks was from the same ink batch as the pen in Diana Hahn's purse. And Diana Hahn's checkbook revealed she had made some other unusual purchases.
based upon who those checks had been written to, the detectives followed up, went to another department store, and did in fact learn that Diana Hahn had purchased an axe, lighter fluid, matches, sunglasses, various items that would have been used during the abduction.
Diana Hahn was arrested and charged with Shari Daly's murder. The question now, was Michael Daly involved?
Narcissistic, egotistical, sociopath, total lack of conscience, despicable, disgusting human being.
Witnesses told police they saw a blonde woman abduct Shari Daly from a department store parking lot. The prime suspect, Diana Hahn, was a brunette. In a search of her home, investigators found evidence that Hahn was a master of disguises.
When we executed a search warrant in her room, we found all kinds of photographs showing her in different get-ups and wigs and makeup as she posed for a modeling agency. We asked Diana Hahn's mother if she could pick out her daughter in any of these photographs, and her mother started shaking her head no, that this wasn't her daughter.
And Hahn's telephone record showed something curious. Diana and Michael spoke by telephone numerous times immediately before and after the abduction. Based on the telephone calls and the forensic evidence, prosecutors say Diana Hahn rented the car under her own name because rental agencies require a valid driver's license. To conceal her identity, Hahn attempted to forge her own signature, a forgery detected by the forensic experts. Hahn followed Shari Daly to the department store parking lot. Hahn was wearing a blonde wig and sunglasses to mask her identity. When Shari left the store, Hahn may have posed as a member of law enforcement because witnesses say Shari was handcuffed and placed into the back seat. At some point, Shari inevitably recognized Diana and knew her husband and his mistress were going to kill her. The forensic evidence shows that Diana killed Shari in the back seat of the rental car, threw her body down the deserted ravine, put the murder weapons in the trunk, and drove to Ventura Marina. There she changed out of her bloody clothes and called Michael from the payphone to say the murder was done. From there, Hahn drove to a car wash and attempted to clean the blood from the back seat and trunk. But she was unsuccessful. Luminol, phenolphthalein, and DNA testing confirmed that Shari Daly was brutally attacked in Hahn's rental car. The five wig fibers confirmed the disguise. Forensic handwriting and ink analysis also revealed that it was Hahn's signature on checks used to purchase the wig and the axe.
You have to be maniacal. You have to be evil. You have to have something inherently vicious inside of you to be able to do what she did to Shari Daly and to leave those two young boys without their mother.
The telephone calls Hahn placed to Michael Daly before and after the murder was evidence of his complicity.
The night that we arrested Michael, we did a search warrant on his home, and on the bed where he and his wife had slept was a full-length pillow that you can get probably through some company where you can actually take somebody's photograph and have it actually printed on this pillow. Well, guess whose face was on the pillow? Diana Hahn's. And that pillow was there while Shari was still alive.
I still get hurt for the betrayal. I think he betrayed us, and he betrayed Shari in the worst possible way. And the fact that she loved him and he used that love.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find Michael Anthony Daly guilty of...
Diana Hahn and Michael Daly were both convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison.
church life and upbringing tells me that I should be able to forgive him. Unfortunately, God is going to have to forgive me for the fact that I will never be able to offer that forgiveness to him.
Can you describe Sherry and Diana's relationship?
Not good. They both hated each other. They both wanted me.
Big, fat ego. And he sat there and said, I can't help it if two women love me. It's not my fault that two women love me. And I think it was an ego trip.
I think he knew exactly what he was doing throughout this whole case. It was just unfortunate for him that he was stupid.
One thing that I'll never forget about this case is Ken Guess saying, when Sherry and Michael got married, I walked Sherry down the aisle and I left her there and gave my daughter to this man. And this was the man that killed my daughter. And that's something that I'll always remember him saying. And I'm sure it's something that he will never forget. Though the forensics in this case was very vital. The handwriting analysis on the checks that Diana Hahn wrote to purchase the items and the implements that she used to murder Sherry, that was key.
We hadn't found Sherry Dowley's blood in the car that Diana Hahn had rented. I don't see how we would have solved the case.